Rav Chalap writes about using our inner strength to grow. So Rav Chalap says, sometimes a person can feel like everything around him is getting in his way. He wants to grow, he wants to do tshuva, he wants to become a better person, and he suddenly starts feeling like everything around him is stopping him. And he starts feeling like there are things that are impeding upon his growth. And he starts feeling like all around him there's pritzut, there are people who are transgressing, and it might even be his inner circle, his friends, his family. And a person feels like, I want to grow. My soul wants to grow. And things around me are constricting me. So then a person has to become stronger. And a person has to remember what the Ribbono Shel Olam, how the Ribbono Shel Olam is described. We say it in the Tefillah of Yom Kippur, Umalim Ayin Misorerim. Hashem turns a blind eye to people who have veered off the path. A person has to learn from his Creator to have that patience and that ability to turn a blind eye to that which is wrong all around him. Ma'alim ayin misorerim.
Why?
People once asked me, they had a chazan in their shul, that they discovered that the chazan had posted things online that were questionable of being apikorsut. They were questionable of going against our tradition, and they asked, what should they do? Should they bump them off of being chazan on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whatever it was? So I asked Rav Neventzal, should they bump them off? So Rav Neventzal said, no. Chances are, if they try to bump them off, a big machloket will ensue. The whole community will be in turmoil over the fight, so this, that. I said, so he's going to be chazan after he posted A and B and C. So Rav Neventzal said to me this. He said, in Tefillah on Yom Kippur, we say, Ma'alim ayin misorerim. Hashem turns a blind eye to people who have veered off the path. So this guy has put questionable things up there. He said, if he answers people halachic questions, and they trust him, and they're going to do things that are wrong, then you have to speak up and say, I'm sorry, what he's saying is wrong. But if the question is, he's going to be chazan, and the alternative is, you're going to try to bump him off, and then the whole community will go into turmoil, ma'ali ma'in misorerim. So, coming back to Rav Chalap. So, Rav Chalap says, Hashem is described as melech, the king who is mochel v'soleach la'avonim. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to forgo our transgressions. And a person has to arouse himself to realize that just as Hashem is pure and His servants are pure, so too I am pure. A person sometimes feels like if everyone around me is like this, how am I ever going to get anywhere? Well, remember, Hashem says, I created a world. People are doing things that are wrong. I'm going to turn a blind eye and I remain pure. Says Rav Chalap, we have to remind ourselves of what we say every morning. Neshama shenatata bi tehora hi. My soul is pure, I am pure. And I can remain pure. There are things around me I'm displeased with. There are things around me that I think are very, very wrong. Remember, Hashem remains perfect and pure, even though the world is doing things that are wrong. We have to retain the purity of our soul, even though things around us are wrong. And so a person has to work on uplifting their own soul. And a person has to work with the confidence that he's going to succeed. And he has to work with the confidence that by working to grow themselves, that will succeed much more than all the other pressures a person can get into. Rav Chalap uses the word, yet l'to'elet arbe yoter mikol alechitzot, much more than pressuring everything around me. No, let me grow. And then Rav Chalap says, v'yituknu mimeila kol einyanim. When we grow, then we suddenly realize there's a derivative around us, things become fixed. Don't tackle them directly. You see, they're going their way. They want to go their way. You grow. And even the people around him will start being attracted to his way of doing things. And you'll see that you'll pull the world up with you. You grow. Focus on your growth. Focus on developing yourself. I remember I once had a room where the people used to watch television. I don't know how you guys are, but when I talk to someone and there's a TV in the room, I have a very hard time not looking at the TV. It's like, you know, you're trying to look this way and suddenly you find yourself doing that. It's like very hard. I haven't had this test in many years, but the last times I've been in a room where there's a television, something playing, I had a very hard time talking to the person and not looking at... I don't know how people do it. People have their TVs running all day. I don't know how they do that. I don't know. I guess maybe they have boring channels on. I don't know. Or maybe if it's on all day, at some point you're just not looking. I don't know. What I decided at that time was that anytime when they don't talk to me, so I won't be in the room where there's a TV, but when they do talk to me, so I would stay at the entrance to the room where like the TV was here and I'd be standing here, so I couldn't see the TV. So I wasn't telling them you guys shouldn't watch TV. I was saying, you know, I have my room. I'll be happy to talk to you in my room. When it was not nice to do that, like, so I'd have the conversation from the entrance to the room. Slowly but surely, different members of the house started realizing, I'm not going to be in the room with the TV on. I'm going to stay out. And slowly people started getting the message and thinking, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe he has more. I didn't say a word. I wasn't telling them they shouldn't watch TV. I was trying to work on myself not to watch TV. I wasn't interested in seeing what they were seeing. So I just made sure I wouldn't see it. And Rav Chalap says, work on yourself. You see that everything around you is somewhere else. Don't be focused. Don't be uptight about it. That's not what's going to succeed. You work on growing. You work on becoming a better person. If you remember that your soul is connected to the Ribon Shel Olam is pure, but the world isn't. Yeah, but he's still pure. Nishamash natata bitorai, but my soul, you gave me something pure. Let me work on that. Let me focus on that. Let me see that that can grow untainted. And he says, you'll see, over time they will grow from you, without you fighting them.
So then, connecting it to how the point started, what then is the... If in any case, the point Rav Chalap is making that we shouldn't not necessarily pay attention, but we shouldn't take so hard the faults and difficulties of the imperfections of things around us, rather say you accept them, they're imperfect, things are messed up, but I have to focus on my own growth and myself and hope or see eventually that it'll have an impact. But this is what can be done right now, whereas being frustrated and being angry and focusing on the imperfections of other things isn't going to help. What then is he saying that the proper approach to the imperfections around us is to ignore them and only concentrate on ourselves?
Sometimes. He says, if what you're feeling is that what's around you is threatening you and you can't grow, Rav Chalap says, then focus inwardly and grow. You can't change. You have family members, you have friends, you have people who are around you, you have neighbors. You can't always change what's going on around you. And most of the time you cannot. But you could change yourself. But what you have to work is with the confidence that you can. Rav Chalap says, remember, your soul is a part of the Ribon Shel Olam. That soul is pure. You have to work with the confidence, I can grow. Don't say, but I'm in this environment, I can't. Yes, you can. Grow.
He's going even further, it seems to me. He's saying, and by doing the Hashem has put you in this position and you can, without saying anything, help out with that.
That's the next step.
That's
part two.
I mean, obviously, if it's bad enough, it's terrible, you know you can't do it. You should move.
If you can move, you can't always move. You don't always have that luxury.
But if you're strong enough, maybe you shouldn't.
We definitely try to avoid it. He's talking about scenarios where it's your inner circle.
Right. No, but he's saying that he didn't have to add. And you'll be uplifting that.
Yeah.
To me was a very profound
yeah,
thing.
That's very important.
But is that, you know, is it happen or
He says it will happen. It will happen. I want to give an example.
This is motivation for growing in difficult situations.
What?
So then he's implying then that we should keep in our minds by growing and by staying focused on my growth despite the difficult situation around me, I'm drawing further motivation from this difficult situation because it will be uplifted in merit of me staying.
Not only merit, but you affect the people around you. You will, whether you like it or not. I mean, there are many stories. There's the story, I'll tell you one story that I just heard this month. There is a couple that lives in California, in one of the most expensive places in California. He's a Jew, she's not Jewish. He's a Jew that doesn't keep too many Torah mitzvot, and he has a top job in a top firm, making a lot of money. And then he decided that he they want to learn more about Judaism. And she entered a conversion program. So the rabbi from the Beit Din interviewed them. And when he interviewed them, so he turned to the man and he said, I don't understand. You're living in one of the wealthiest parts of the country, and now you want to move to a Jewish community. You have everything you want in life. Why are you doing this? But now he's talking to the man who's Jewish. He said, what's going on? So the man said, I'll tell you the truth. I thought that you cannot lead an observant lifestyle and succeed. And then I went to get an MBA at Harvard four years ago. And when I was in Harvard, so the top guy in our class was a guy who kept Torah mitzvos. I saw this guy, and I see that he's the top guy of the class, and he doesn't transgress Shabbos. And he davens every morning. And I suddenly see a guy who's keeping Torah mitzvos to the line. And he's the top of the class. So I came back to my business after getting my MBA at Harvard, and I said, I can do this. My whole point in thinking I can't be observant was I thought observant Jews can't be successful in the materialistic world. And in Harvard, I saw the top guy of the class, completely observant. The top guy of the class is a good friend of mine. That's how I got the story. The rabbi from the Beit Din told them the story, told the family, this guy's family, the story, and I got it through the grapevine. But look at what the guy did. He spent 2 years in Harvard just sticking to his Torah and mitzvos the way he should. And he doesn't, I don't think he even knows yet what he's done on the other side of the planet. He doesn't live in California. But the man goes back to California and tells his non-Jewish wife, hey, I could do this. Why don't we rethink this? And they're both now on a totally different track for their whole life. What did he do? Did he talk to him? Did he try to convince him? No, he kept pushing himself up. When we grow the world. And I could tell you more stories like that. I'm saying we had a guy who came and wanted to join here after he was a top soldier, and they asked him why. And he said, there's a guy who doesn't know me, but we served together. And when I saw what it means to be a Torah observant Jew, how caring he was in all his army service, I kept watching him. Every time things would happen, I'd watch him. I want to see how the observant Jew reacts to this. I was watching him the whole time. I didn't say a word to him. He doesn't know me and I don't know him. I just watched him. I observed. I ended my army service. I decided that's the type of lifestyle. That's the type of person I want to be. So here you have a guy who brought up someone else's chozer b'tshuva. He doesn't even know why. The guy doesn't know it. He doesn't know what he did. We uplift people around us by the way we behave, by the type of people we are. I could tell you more stories, but I think the idea is an obvious one. I'm saying we do affect the world. It's very recognizable. You'll see it.
Both ways too.
Yeah.
Rav Klapp is saying, be your best despite your situation because this is what you are supposed to do, and know that by doing so, it isn't in vain within your environment. It is for a reason, but it is not necessarily saying, which is why I'm questioning this so much, because I was, without clarification, it was sounding as though an advocation for going out and saying I'm a shaliach and which could lead to a lot of arrogance and a lot of haughtiness. Someone goes into the perspective, I'm the Messiah, I'm going to uplift everyone despite my surroundings, I am needed, I am necessary. Whereas you're saying, no, be a dugma ishi, live your life according to the highest standard that you can live by, continuously grow, and know that it's not going unseen. It is having an effect. So continue.
You guys are very taken by a point that's his derivative. That's not the main point. His main point is, when you see yourself surrounded with challenging environments, when your inner circle, your outer circle is challenging, and you feel like, I cannot derive strength from them, they're drawing me down, so don't become uptight. He says the way to deal with it is to remember that you have an inner soul that is pure and you can grow. His final point is, by the way, as you grow, you'll pull them up. That's not the point. The point is, when your environment is such, don't feel like I can't do this. Realize you have a pure soul. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a world, and even though the world does things that are inappropriate, the Ribbono Shel Olam is still pure. You have part of that. You have a godly soul. You are pure. And your environment does not have to draw you down. You can just focus inwardly on your ability to grow, and you can focus on growing and continue growing. Now, after he said that point of focusing internally and growing and recognizing that you're pure, now he comes back and says, but there is a concept that we are a part of a greater whole. And when you try to have a correct soul and do things right, but everyone around you is doing things that are wrong, so the natural evolvement is that you're affected. Part of being a correct person, part of being the way we should be, is that we want to be a part of our environment. And this desire to be a part of the greater people of Israel ultimately can also harm a person. Because at the end of the day, if the people around him are inappropriate and he wants to connect, so he says, well, the only way you can overcome that, the only cure here, is when you uplift yourself and say, I want to be a part of their bone show. Because if I say, yeah, I'm a part of this family, you can't say you're not a part of the family. You can't say I'm not a part of this society. But you can say I still have my connection to Hashem. When a person says I'm connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what a person is saying is there's something pure about me that I want to retain its purity. And that, says Rav Chalap, is one of the things which are unique about Yom Kippur. Specifically through Yom Kippur, we start saying, I'm not connected to this physical world the way I am the whole year long. All year long, I have to think about eating on Yom Kippur, I don't. All year long, I have to think about showering on Yom Kippur, I don't. All year long, I have to think about all the mundane things of being a human being on Yom Kippur, I say, I'm an angel. Leave me alone. I have one day a year where I'm not thinking about all that. And on Yom Kippur, suddenly I'm a part of a people that have been cleansed today. And then I have a fresh start. I come the day after Yom Kippur, I'm like a new baby, it's a new beginning. When a person looks at Yom Kippur that way, so then a person can also feel like, I am connected and I'm not going to be drawn down because everyone around me is doing things that are wrong. When we leave Yom Kippur, we want to take with us from Yom Kippur a connection that gives us the strength to continue growing. A connection that says, I'm a holy person. Yom Kippur wasn't one day a year experience. Yom Kippur allows me to take from Yom Kippur a connection, a recognition of the purity of my own soul that allows me to continue to grow, even if what's around me is not exactly where I want to be. On Yom Kippur, we are trying to arouse within ourselves Hirhurei Kodesh. There are these murmurs, these thoughts of how holy we want to be. It's not that a person should be like many people take their New Year's vows. And everyone knows that 2 weeks after New Year's, they've all dissipated. Rav Chalap says on Yom Kippur, we want to arouse the murmurs of the soul. We want to arouse those inner recesses of how good we want to be. We're not going to take vows on Yom Kippur. We're not going to say, I promise I'm never going to say Lashon Hara. I promise I'm never going to speak disrespectfully to my parents. There are a lot of things I want to be and I know I should be. But on Yom Kippur, those voices start becoming louder within us. Who we want to be. What Rav Chalap calls the murmurs of the soul. At that time, a person starts creating something he can hold on to the rest of the year. So a person starts clarifying to himself, who do I really want to be? What do I really want to do with this life of mine? Where do I really want to be with this life of mine? The key to Yom Kippur is not to look at it as I had a moment of inspiration. On the contrary, I have a day where I start revealing within myself the murmurs of holiness that remind me that my soul is really pure, where I really want to get to. I have a whole year now to work on it. But Yom Kippur is the arousal of the murmurs of the soul. What are those inner thoughts where I really want to be? Where I'd like to be? So it's not about taking vows. It's not about taking promises. It's not about saying, that's it, now I'm going to change. It's about, wait, this is where I want to be. Let's hold on to those thoughts of Yom Kippur so that when we leave Yom Kippur, we can connect to one point which is real, the recognition that our soul is pure. Neshama shenatata bitorahi. When we recognize that, we're empowered to move forward and work on developing those inner murmurs into realities.